the first time I've met you guys, but she told me that God told her that her place was beside her husband, and it was at a River Ridge meeting, and they were talking about marriage. I don't know. It's crazy. I really appreciate this.
Oh, man. Come on. Let's praise God one more time for that. Praise God for Frontier Recovery, and just thankful that we're able to do that, and again, just spread God's love and generosity out in this community to the organizations and people that are really doing God's work, and just it's always good when we can go out there, right? Our church is not about inside these walls, everybody. We got to keep reminding ourselves of that. It's really easy to circle the wagons and be about just us in here, but man, that's not God's call on us as a church. Glad that all of you get that, and so just keep giving, and if you want to find out more about Dollar Club, you can go on our riverridge.tv and just read up about it if you don't know much about it. Encourage you to do that. And with that said, I just want to say hello to everyone here. Again, everybody who made it in the house and all of you who are watching online. Glad that you're joining us as well. If we haven't met, my name's Andy. I'm one of the pastors here. And my hope and prayer every time, I know God wants to meet you. And I hope and pray that you've already encountered him yourself and allowed him in. Because, man, God is where we could find comfort, hope, peace, and joy. And through Jesus, we get that, everybody. Everybody on the same page with that? Yeah. And so I pray that he's met you already. So before we get to the message, I do need to bring something up. I need all of your help with this. If you haven't already done this, so a few weeks ago, we mentioned that we are moving to 3 services starting on July 27th. And so if you haven't done this, what we need to know is we need to know where all of you are going to go. Like, we need to know which service you're going to attend. So if you haven't done that, you can get out your phones right now. And scan this QR code for me, and we're going to have it in places as well. But do me a favor and do that if you haven't already. We've already had quite a few responses. And just tell us the service that you and your family are going to most likely attend, and that's going to be helpful for us on a few fronts to know where everybody's going, but more importantly, to understand our distribution of our ministry teams. And if you're wondering, hey, Andy, what are the service times? Well, you're going to have to participate to find out. Okay, so yeah, get on there, and then you'll see what the service times are. So yeah, hope you do that. And again, thank you for helping us out. That will be a tremendous thing for us to know where everybody's going to be going. So make sure you scan that, and if you miss it, you can get it back. The sermon will be up there, and you can find it on there, and we'll have it in other places. So make sure you do that. All right, if you have your Bibles, go ahead and grab those. Open them up to Acts chapter 19. And so as you're getting there to Acts 19, we are in week number 4 of our series that we're calling Disciple. And what we're doing is we are just talking about and looking at the life of a believer in Jesus. That the big idea is this, that as followers of Jesus, or as people, or someone who would say, yes, I know and understand that I am rescued, redeemed, forgiven through the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus, the people who say that there are things that happen. There are changes that take place as you follow Jesus. In other words, there is a literal cause and effect that happens as you follow him, that you will not stay the same as you live out your yes to Jesus. And so we started this out by just looking at what a disciple is. The simple definition of a disciple is a disciple is a student or a learner or a pupil. And for us, our teacher is Jesus. So we are students and learners of Jesus. But really what I wanted us to understand and wrap our minds around is this, is that as a growing disciple, really the definition of a growing disciple is someone who looks at Jesus and says, I want more. I want more of you in my life. I want more of you working in my life. And so that's what we've been talking about, because here's the deal. We will go through everything that everybody else goes through in this life. All of us will go through the same stuff. But for us, see, when we follow Jesus, though, through the same things in life, and when we actually live out our yes to him, then when we know what he says to do, and when we do those things, see, what we will find out is through that, we will find the pathway through the same stuff that we go through. We're going to experience different things, because we're going to experience with Jesus as we follow him more peace, more joy, more freedom in our life. And it will cause us in response to go, man, I want more of that. I want more of that in my life. And so we've been talking about just looking at the things the disciples do to put themselves in a position to receive that from God. And really that honestly fits right with our mission statement. If you don't know what our mission statement is, we say that we exist to help you take next steps in your journey with God. And what we believe is every step you take towards God is a step towards more of God in your life. That's why we're here. That's what we want to see for every single person here, whether you're far away from God or close to him and call Jesus your savior. So that's what we've been going through. So here's where we're going today. We're stepping through in week four, and we're going to talk today about the role of the Holy Spirit in the lives of disciples. So this is actually going to be kind of a two-week deal. We're going to talk about the Holy Spirit over the next 2 weeks. And today we're going to spend time on just talking about who the Holy Spirit is, because here's the thing. In order to experience what he can do, you got to know who he is first. You hear what I'm saying, everybody? So we're just going to make sure that everybody knows who he is. And then next week, we're going to look at really what it looks like to be led by the Holy Spirit. There are some things that will just happen as you allow the Holy Spirit to lead you, and the things that he can and will do in our lives. And why we're spending 2 weeks on the Holy Spirit is because here's the truth. Like, I'm just going to tell you, the truth is there are a lot of Christians who just, they do not know what to do with the Holy Spirit. That's as simple as I can say. Just don't know what to do with them. And why I want us to go to Acts 19 first today is because this is actually a very common thing. This is not uncommon for us. We're actually going to read a place in here that hopefully will help us out if that's where you find yourself, to say, I don't really know much about how to do with the Holy Spirit. So let me get us caught up real quick in Acts 19. So the first four books of the New Testament, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John are the Gospels. We call them the Gospels. And what they do is they give us the story of Jesus and his life, death, and resurrection. And then the next book after Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John is the book of Acts, okay? Luke wrote this book. And what it does is it chronicles all the details of the very first church of Jesus after Jesus ascended into heaven. And what you see when you read the book of Acts is very early on in this book is you see the Holy Spirit come on the disciples, the followers of Jesus. Now, Jesus, prior to this moment, talked to them about the Holy Spirit all over the place. Talked to them about it. So the disciples heard about the Holy Spirit from Jesus, and now they experience the Holy Spirit once Jesus ascended into heaven. And so now where we are in Acts 19 is this is years and years after this moment happened with the Holy Spirit. So this is where we are in Acts 19. We're going to pick this up in verse 1, and it says this. It says that while Apollos was in Corinth, Paul traveled through the interior regions until he reached Ephesus on the coast, where he found several believers. Did you receive the Holy Spirit when you believed? He asked them. No, they replied. We haven't even heard that there is a Holy Spirit. I find that really, really interesting on a few fronts, okay? But the most interesting for me is because what we first need to see is that it says that they are believers. So what this means is that they were saved. They believed in Jesus. They were going to heaven, but they didn't know anything about the Holy Spirit. And gang, here's my argument. This is why I believe this is in the Bible. This still exists today. That there are a lot of people who would say, I believe in Jesus. Like, I know that I'm going to heaven, but I am not sure about how the Holy Spirit works. I'm not really sure. Like, I know I've heard it, but I don't really know. And here's the deal. This is why I know this still exists today, because for me, early on in my journey of faith, that was me as well. That when I came to a saving faith in Jesus, when I became a Christian, here's the deal again, I had no idea who or what the Holy Spirit was at all and how it had anything to do with Jesus. Like that's where I was. I mean, I heard about the Holy Spirit, right? I remember like saying Holy Spirit at church a few times when we did these creeds that we went through. And here's the thing, I don't know why, but for years I kept thinking about a literal ghost and it freaked me out, okay? Like I'm gonna be honest, like I remember, I'm not kidding, I'm serious about this. There were nights when I was in bed freaking out that there was a ghost hovering over me, staring at me. That was my thought of the Holy, and I was an adult, by the way, I wasn't a kid. This is adult years Andy, okay? Like freaking out about this ghost, okay? I couldn't get past it because I did not know like what or who the Holy Spirit, I don't know how he had to do with anything. Like I was like, all I need is Jesus. I'm good. And really, I really think that's the problem for so many Christians. I think for a lot of people, Their knowledge of the Holy Spirit is through what they've heard about and not what the Bible actually says. I mean, just hearing Holy Ghost, all right, that kind of messes with us a little bit. If you don't know a whole lot and that's all you know is you heard some things, and if like I came up to you and I said, hey, guess what? I got a ghost for you. You want it? You'd be like, you know, I'm good. Good, right? I'd be like, well, it's holy. I'm set. I'm all set, Andy. Thank you very much. Right? Like, that's what, if you don't know much more than that, if somebody just came up and said, yeah, you want a ghost, like, no, so it'd be like, nah, you're crazy, right? Like, I don't want a ghost, right? And here's the thing. We don't know what to do with what we don't know about. But what will happen is we will just keep ourselves at a distance with what we don't know about. And here's the problem when it comes to this and the Holy Spirit. See, if we do this with the Holy Spirit, then we will miss out on a huge part of this relationship that God wants with us. A huge part of that, okay? So today we're gonna get to know the Holy Spirit today, okay? We're gonna look at really two things today. We're gonna look at who the Holy Spirit is, and we're also gonna look at what he can actually do, okay? So before we get to our notes, let me get to the first big hurdle for us. And this is gonna help folks who are visiting or new, and maybe you're trying to check out God and understand everything. So here's what I wanted to explain. Within Christianity, okay, within Christianity, there are just some things for us as believers. I've been believing in God since 1995, and there are still things within that are just a little mysterious, that are a little kind of hard to grasp and hard to understand. And here's the thing, the Trinity is one of those things. If you've ever heard, you know, us talk about the Trinity, here's what the Trinity is. The Trinity is a doctrine within Christianity where believers in Jesus, we believe that God exists as one God, but in three distinct persons, okay? You have God the Father, God the Son, and then you have God, the Holy Spirit. And it's a mystery. Why I say that it's a mystery is because this is not saying that God is just three different persons. Because if he was three different persons, then we would have three gods, but we don't have three gods. We only have one God, okay? And it's also not saying that each one of them is a third of God either. That's not what it's saying, that all three persons of God are all 100% God. And so they are fully God, and yet there is only one God. And some of you are sitting there saying, Andy, I don't get it. And I would say, I know, that's why it's a mystery, okay? Like that's where we're at with this. And here's, this is just so you know, if you didn't know, this is what we do with this as Christians, as people who believe in Jesus. And this really goes for anything, because there's more than just this one, for anything that we get, that comes across our way, the things of God that we don't fully are able to understand or figure out, that's a little mysterious. So one is this, here's one thing that we do with it. One is that we believe that if God was easy to understand, that's not God. It's just as simple as that. Like, if everything of God was easy to get, like, that we're not dealing with God. And so I am okay, here's what I would say, I am okay with not being able to wrap my human, earthly mind on things entirely around things that are eternal and supernatural, okay? Like, that's just where I'm at. And really, that's the kind of God I want. I want the kind of God where I'm like, I'm not so sure, but like, you know, because we're trying to grasp supernatural God things, okay? And I'm just gonna tell, for some of you, you just need to gotta kind of get settled with that. Like, we're not gonna figure things out all the way. But here's the second big thing that we do with it. This is the great thing about God. Even though we can't wrap our earthly limited minds around it, see, I love this. God still gives us like dots to connect with even the things that are really hard for us to understand. I love that about God. Like, he just kind of helps us connect the dots so we can find security in the things that we're always not, that are a little mysterious, that we can have, you know, faith in those things, okay? So that's kind of what we do. So let's check this out. And I found one place in scripture, because I think a lot of people, like if you talk to people, they're like, I don't understand. You don't see the Trinity in the Bible and all that. You don't see that. Well, let me point to one place. If you're in your Bibles, this is a good place to understand or mark and underline. This is 2 Corinthians 13:14. Cause I love it in here. This is very big help for us to understand the distinction between the three persons of God. So this is 2 Corinthians 13:14. And Paul helps us. He says that the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. And so this is a beautiful place because Paul right here breaks down all three persons of God for us, and he explains it, that each person here has a distinct role that are important to us as believers. And so what we have is we have God the Father, and his role is loving us. He made us out of love. He loves us. He sent Jesus out of love. Like, this is God the Father. And then we have God the Son, who's Jesus Christ. And he's who saved us. And that's why it says the grace of the Lord, that he represents God's grace on us, that the grace to save us, the grace to die for us in our place, to forgive us of our sin. And then we have the Holy Spirit, right? That, and I love the description, the fellowship be with us all. That here's the role of the Holy Spirit. This is cool. The role of the Holy Spirit is to keep our friendship up with God. That's as easy as I can say that his role is to keep the presence of God in our lives. Okay, so that's kind of the Holy Spirit's role. Okay, so now let's get into and talk about who the Holy Spirit is. If you have your notes, go ahead and get those out. I'm just gonna give you three things to know about the Holy Spirit. Here's the first thing that we need to know about him, and it says that the Holy Spirit isn't an it, right? Holy Spirit is not an it. All right, so when you go to the Bible and you start to find places where it talks about the Holy Spirit, depending on the translation, by the way, but depending on the translation, you will find about 400 places where the Holy Spirit or the Spirit of the Lord is mentioned, okay? About 400 times. And every single time you come across him, every single time, what you will see is that his qualities are qualities of a he and not an it. Every single time. And one of the many places that you see Jesus talk about the Holy Spirit, one of the places is in John 14, and we're gonna read that a little bit this morning, but when you see that, just in this little piece of Jesus talking about the Holy Spirit, 16 times in just this one little place, he says the Holy Spirit is he, him, or whom. Okay, so again, just all that to show us that the Bible reveals to us that the Holy Spirit has intellect and emotions, and that he speaks truthfulness, and that these are all qualities of a person and not just this like some mystical force that exists out there. So he's not an it, he's a he. Here's the second one that we need to understand, is that the Holy Spirit is active in every Christian. Really important to know that every believer in Christ has a Holy Spirit in them. So this is where we get this, is Ephesians 1:13, one of the many places. It says that in him, this is Jesus, in him also, when you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, and believed in him, here's what happens. You were sealed with the promised Holy Spirit. Great scripture to know about how he comes into our lives. So here's what this is saying, everybody. This is what we got to catch. Not everyone can experience the Holy Spirit. Not everyone can do that. It's only present in the lives of believers, because this tells us that it's only through salvation where the Holy Spirit becomes active and lives in us in our lives. And so for believers in Jesus, again, for people who want to be growing disciples, right? This is what this means for you, that your salvation, however long ago it was, whether it was a week ago or 20 years ago, 30, you know, whatever it was, it came with a promise of the Holy Spirit working in you and helping you and, listen, pushing you towards God. That's like what the role of the Holy Spirit is. And here's what I just gotta believe. I know we have different seasons in our lives with God. Like, trust me, I've been through every single season. And I can tell, but I just gotta believe that for all of us, like, none of us want just like a stale relationship with God. I don't believe any of us wants that. I think we go through those things in our lives. I don't think any of us want that stale relationship. But here's what you gotta know. God doesn't want that either. In fact, he has dedicated an entire God person to just that thing. Pretty neat to know. He's like, no, you got God living in you, pushing you, helping you, God doing all these great things that we want with God. So that's the second thing, is that he's active in everybody. Here's a third one that we need to know about the Holy Spirit. Is the Holy Spirit in action is hard to describe. That's a long note, but I didn't know how else to do it. Like, the Holy Spirit in action is hard to describe. So here's the tricky part. This is a tricky part about the Holy Spirit. Like, it's really hard to describe to someone. If you think about it, even in your own life, if you can really have a grasp of the Holy Spirit, it's really hard to describe to someone how he works if they don't know it themselves. It is. It's kind of hard. Like, if you think about it, it's just hard to do without saying, you just got to experience him. Like, at some point in time, it's like, you just got to kind of experience him. And so here's what I thought I would do. I thought how I would describe the Holy Spirit to you today is the way in which the Bible actually describes them. And I actually think it's going to be very helpful for us to understand. And so in the Bible, there are two words that the original language words that describe the Holy Spirit, okay? The one in the Old Testament is the Hebrew word ruach, ruach, right? If you want to write it down, it's R-U-W-A-C-H, R-U-W-A-C-H, ruach. And what ruach means is it means a wind or a violent exhalation. So it's a violent breath, okay, right? Hopefully the Holy Spirit has good breath, okay? That's the word for Holy Spirit in the Old Testament. So every single time the translators came across this word for God, they said Holy Spirit. That they're like, how else can we say it? We'll say Holy Spirit, okay? Then in the New Testament, it's another word, a Greek word, pneuma. And it really kind of means the same thing. It means current of air, blast of breath, or breeze, okay? So what I'm going to do is I'm going to take this, the original words to describe the Holy Spirit, and I'm going to use it to describe how he works, because it's kind of like how you would describe wind to someone who never experienced wind before. All right, so just think about that. We might be able to help us. So the first thing that I would say to describe somebody as wind is I would say that wind is invisible, right? Wind is invisible. So if you go outside, you can't really point to it unless there's like a dust cloud or something, right? Like for the most part, you can't really point to like the wind. You see its effects, right? You see its effects. You can see what it's done, but you can't give wind like a color. You can't give it a physical property the way that you can do with other things. And the same thing is true of the Holy Spirit, okay? Jesus talks about this. This is what he says in John 14. He says that I will ask the Father and he will give you another helper to be with you forever, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because here it is, it neither sees him or knows him. You know him, for he dwells with you and will be in you. All over the place, we have this affirmation of the Holy Spirit being in us. I always need that. I always need to be reminded of that, but that's what Jesus says. So Jesus says that the Holy Spirit's presence won't be seen, but that's okay. And why he says that's okay, because he says, you'll feel him and you'll know him. And everybody, come on, like once you feel him, you know. Amen, everybody? Like once you feel him, you know. And you know, that gets like the idea of talking about feeling something, like sometimes that gets downplayed in church, I think, because you hear all the time, don't go off how you feel. Don't let your feelings. That's not what I'm getting at with this. That's not what I'm getting at, because there is a, what happens is like what I'm trying to say with this idea with the Holy Spirit and that we feel him. See, like all of God isn't just intellectual. Do you hear what I'm saying? So our experience with God, you got to catch this. Our experience of God can't just be all intellectual either. I think sometimes we wrestle with that, especially my intellectual friends and neighbors around here. Is like, man, all of God is all of God. He gave us emotions. He gave us feelings. And so he's going to operate out of those as well. So there is just this supernatural thing that happens where you just feel God. And it's not very easy to explain, you know what I'm saying? But it's the Holy Spirit. So, and that's my hope every single Sunday here, when we gather here together. Like, I pray for you just to have that moment where you just go, man, there's something here. There's something happening. And by the way, that's why a lot of people come here. Like, a lot of people come back here, not because of the lights or the phenomenal teaching. That's not it. That's not why you come. It's not. I know that. I get it. I totally get it, right? No, you come to feel God's presence, because it's real. It's palpable. You can't see it, like, but man, you feel it, and you just think, man, I feel something. And by the way, you can when you're in the presence of the Holy Spirit, but you're not saved, you can still kind of see what's going on. I believe that with everything I got. But he works like that as well. It's just like that, but that's what he does, everybody. And I believe that's the secret sauce of why people come here, because I think the Holy Spirit's moving in his place. Amen, everybody? I believe it. Here's a second thing about wind is variable. Variable, right? Like wind can like shift and move, change directions on a dime. We kind of experienced that yesterday, right? Like we were out there just working on our front like little plant thing. Man, that wind was blowing. I mean, it was just hitting you in the face and on the side and then on the butt. And then like, it was like, how is this just going everywhere, right? But that's what wind does. That's what wind does, right? And the Holy Spirit's the same way. And honestly, I think that's what gets to a lot of people too. I really do. I think that's what's hard for us. Because whether we believe this or not, I think we sort of want, or we like God more of this like orderly thing. Like we want to be in an ordered system that's predictable, but that is not how God wants to operate, okay? And I will give you proof. This is what Jesus says again. This is John 3. He goes, "The wind blows where it wishes, and you hear its sound, but you don't know where it comes from or where it goes. And so it is with everyone who is born of the Spirit." And so this is Jesus saying, man, listen, God doesn't do it the same way every time. Like God's like the wind, like Holy Spirit. And you know why? This is what I think. You know why he doesn't do it the same way every single time? Because here's what we would end up doing. And the Old Testament proves it, by the way, with the people of God. If God did the same thing regimented every time, all we would do is worship the system and not God. We would. We'd be like, this system's amazing, and worship it and be like, this is how God works. You know what I mean? Now, here's the deal. Like, and honestly, I think we do get a little bogged down on this as a church. And when we grow to this size, we need systems. Like, if we don't have systems, it'll be chaos, okay? Does God absolutely work in the systems? Yes, we need them. We need processes, okay? But it's not the only way, everybody. Like, he can just change on a dime. And we got to be sensitive to that. And that's how the Holy Spirit works. Like, we got to be ready for spontaneous things. We've seen God do spontaneous, amazing things around here, but we got to be willing to let him do that. So it's variable. Here's the third thing to know about wind. It's powerful. It's powerful. Right? I mean, like, we've seen wind do crazy stuff. Like, you're right, like, you go outside and you're like, what? Wind did that? Like, right? You ever do that? You're like, how did wind get that tree up? Right? Wind does powerful. It's just powerful. And there is a power that comes from the Holy Spirit. Amen, everybody? There is a power that we experience. And here's what I want to say. This is what I want to say. It is a power that still exists today. It's not a power that once was, and it's not a power that we just read about. There is a power. It's the same power exists today. And listen, with God, he has all of it and then some to be powerful in your life right now as we speak. The power to change your life and the power to change anybody's life. Right, everybody? Like, we believe that. There is a power that can help you, change you, fix you. I believe it. I've experienced it, and I know many of you here have as well. And so that's how I would describe the Holy Spirit. That's how I would kind of try to say it. So now here's what I want to do. I want to spend the rest of our time just talking about I want to talk about why you would want him working in your life. All right, I'm just going to give you three, and we're going to talk more about this next week, but I want to talk about why you need the Holy Spirit to be working in your life. Because here's the deal. This is why you need to really check this out and just think about this a little bit in your life. Here's the truth. The truth, and this is for a lot of Christians, just because the Holy Spirit is alive and active in you does not mean that everybody's being led by the Holy Spirit in their lives. It doesn't mean you're benefiting from what he can do. So I want us to really check in here and next week as well to really see, man, I want the Holy Spirit working in my life. So I want to give you three things that the Holy Spirit can do in your life and why we would want his help. First one is that he can guide me. That's what he can do. Again, I'm not saying he does it for everybody, but he can do that in our lives. That's the first reason we need him, because he can counsel you. He can direct your life. And here it is, everybody, especially when you don't know what to do. He can guide you. Again, this is what Jesus says. Man, he talked all over the place about the Holy Spirit. He says, when the Spirit of truth comes, he will guide you in all the truth. So here's how you know that it's the Holy Spirit guiding you and not what you ate last night, okay? Here's how you know, all right? The first thing is the Holy Spirit will always guide you in the truth. And what the truth is God's word. That he will always guide you towards that. It will never be counter. So anything, decision you're gonna make will never ever be counter to what God's word says. That's the first reason why you know it'd be the Holy Spirit. The second one is the Holy Spirit will guide you away from sin. That he will guide you away from sin. So you'll know that you're being guided by the Holy Spirit when you are not following the sins or desires of your heart and the things that go against God. You know, one of the things that I've realized, and I realize more and more as I get older and with the people, man, I'm realizing that as I get older, like the more my decisions affect other people around me that I really care about and that I really love, and I don't want to mess that up. And here's the thing. Jesus says, hey, you know the key to that? You know the key to making great decisions, better decisions? Letting the Holy Spirit guide you in the right direction. That's what he's saying the key is. And most of the time, at least for me in my experience, it's not these big, like crazy, it's just these little nudges. You know what I'm saying? Like these little things that happen in the ordinary, these little things that are going on around me. And here's what it is, the key for us. It's just paying attention. It's paying attention. And more importantly, saying, Holy Spirit, guide me. Hey, guide me right now, Holy Spirit. And he will if you let him. Here's the second thing that he can do. He can change me. Holy Spirit can change me. So this is where we're going to be next week. This is like a snapshot of Galatians 5 here where it talks about it. It says, the fruit of the Spirit is this, love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. So this right here, gang, this is what the Holy Spirit can actually develop in us. You know, and as I was going through this list and I was looking at this and thinking about this, you know, I thought about how many misconceptions we have about the Holy Spirit and what he actually does and how many of us are kind of scared of those things. Again, it's because we don't know about the Holy Spirit. We just know what we've heard and seen what we've seen and just how it gets something like this so lost, right? Like here's what I would say. The Holy Spirit does not want to change you into some spectacle that flash dances and convulses and waves flags everywhere. I'm just saying, all right? Like, okay, that's not what he wants. If that's your deal, then by all means, that's fine. If it's genuine, he could do it, I guess. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, as long as it's genuine and not put on. But I honestly think so many of us are scared about that when you hear the word Holy Spirit. You think about those things. But I mean, just, can you just look at that list? What's so scary about that list? Anybody need a little more joy in their life? Anybody need a little more peace? Anybody need some patience? Amen, everybody. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, this is what he wants to give us. This is when we allow him to work, that's what he wants to put in your life. Here's a third one. He can empower me. He can empower me. And so I want to go one more place, and this is in Romans. And I want you just to look at this. How crazy this is. Like in a good way, crazy, amazing, all right? So this is Romans 8:11. This is what is said about you and what's going on in you. Are you ready? That the Spirit of God, who raised Jesus from the dead, by the way, lives in you. Right now as you sit, that power lives in you. He's in you right now. And just as God raised Christ Jesus from the dead, he will give life to your mortal bodies by this same Spirit living within you. That's profound. That's like changing me as I even read it right now in this moment. That he lives in you. Guys, he lives in you. And just take this in for a second, that the same power that got Jesus out of that grave, come on somebody, God gives it to you to do all these things, to be empowered by God to do all kinds of things. He gives you power to be obedient. He gives you power to love hard to love people. Come on, anybody need help on that? He gives you power for that. He gives you power to overcome. He gives you power to resist temptation of sin. The Holy Spirit wants to empower you to a purpose-filled, amazing life with God. And so here's my challenge, and I hope you come back next week to get the second installment of this and what the Holy Spirit can do as we let him lead. Here's my challenge. I know I'm in the notes, but I want you just to read it. It's very easy. It's just kind of the last things that we did. Just like put a little thing around and say, pray this. I want you just between now and next Sunday to just pray three things every day over the next 7 days. It's gonna be very easy. I just want you to pray the simple prayer every day when you wake up. I want you to pray, Holy Spirit, guide me. Holy Spirit, change me. Holy Spirit, empower me. Easy to do, right? But you gotta do it. You gotta say it. Holy Spirit, guide me today. Holy Spirit, like I want to be sensitive and to your nudges. I want you to speak to me. Guide me today. Guide me today and what I can do. Holy Spirit, change me with patience and love and peace and joy and gentleness. Give me gentleness today, God. The Holy Spirit, change me. And Holy Spirit, empower me. God has given you the same power that raised Jesus from the grave. And if that doesn't get you up off your seat, I don't know what does. That's a powerful thing. So start praying these things. Start praying these things. And here's what you will do. If you do this every day, what you will do is you will start to find yourself, here it is, everybody, giving him permission to guide you, giving him permission to, that's what he's missing. He wants to, but we haven't given him permission to. And permission to empower your life. And you, I know it for a fact. Every time I've done this specifically for like an amount of time, dude, he shows up. Be ready, right? I'm just telling you. And you'll be aware of him working in your life. Let me pray. God, thank you. Thank you for giving us this gift. The more I learn about you, the more I'm amazed by you. The Holy Spirit, thank you for your work in us. Thank you for your breath on us. Thank you for your ability to do so much in our lives that we can't do on our own, and that you allow us to have real fellowship with God. an amazing, growing relationship with Him. But help us understand more about You so that we can lean into You more and more in our lives to find what God has for us. And as we're praying right now, I just want to give some of you, like right now, like you don't have the Holy Spirit operating you because you have not come to a saving faith yet, that you have not allowed God the Son to actually redeem you and forgive you. You don't have a relationship with God the Father as a result of that. So I just want to give you an opportunity as you're sitting there thinking about this. Like, I just believe that God's reaching out to some of you here this morning about this. And so I just want to tell you, there is a God. There's way more beyond just this existence, and He loves you. He made you. He knows you by name. He created you, and He will never stop loving you. Never, ever stop loving you. He will never give up on you. In fact, He won't give up on you so much that He sent His own Son, God the Son, Jesus Christ, to do everything that you need to do but you are incapable of doing, to make it right with God. He lived the life you couldn't live, a perfect life. He died for your sin to be forgiven. That's what needs to happen for you to come into this relationship with God the Father, that you need forgiveness, and Jesus is the only one that can do it. And through His life, death, and resurrection, you can receive this amazing gift of salvation and allow the Holy Spirit to start working on peace, joy, freedom in your life for the first time. And so if you've never done that, you need to receive Jesus. It's time to turn your life over to Him right now. And I'm just going to give you this time. You don't have to stand up or walk forward or any of this to happen. Like, for forgiveness and mercy and salvation, you just need to acknowledge a few things, and I'm going to help you pray a prayer to help this. And so to take that step today, to have your sins forgiven, to turn your life over to Jesus, to come back to God who made you and loves you and made a way for you. So you can just pray this. Pray, God, thank You for loving me. Jesus, thank You for dying for me. Today I receive the gift of salvation. I accept that I need forgiveness for my sin, for living my way and not Your way. And today I turn my life over to You. I turn to You. I fully surrender to You. Change me. Make me new. I give You my life in Jesus' name. God, thank You for anyone who prayed that prayer. Thank You for the forgiveness that You give us all. Thank You for the grace that we get to walk in this amazing relationship with You. Holy Spirit, thank You again for empowering us and giving us what we need to keep this relationship thriving. And I pray that we go out today living more for You as a result of coming in here this morning. And we pray for all this in Jesus' name. Amen, amen. Hey, listen, if you pray that prayer, I wanna praise God. And we have a prayer team here against this wall. Please come forward and let them know that you prayed that prayer. Or if you need anything prayed over, your family, finances, jobs, whatever you want, we would love to pray over you, and I would love for you to come back for the next installment about the Holy Spirit. We'll see you next Sunday.